stand to our feet and lift our hands and give the Lord praise together. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Oh, let's go ahead and worship Him together. Come on, church. Let's magnify the Lord together. Hallelujah to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Let's love Him. Let's adore Him. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a holy God this morning. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and enter right into the presence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Does your soul still say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way? Hallelujah. Lord, we want you to have your way in our life. We want your will to be done in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, move on in the sanctuary of our heart. Fill our heart, Father, with the cause of the kingdom. Praise God. I'm so hungry this morning, so thirsty, and it's amazing, and I think it's timely. Is it Brother Mims being here, and almost turned a while ago, Brother Troy Shirt, and told him, and I mean, really been thinking about this, that he needs to go and pray and get some more of that, hallelujah, on that remaining fruit. Because we need some fruit to remain. If we didn't get it the first time, maybe he needs to preach it to us a second time. We need remaining fruit. Not just the fruits of the Spirit, but souls. We need to feel accountable. Looks like God's ringing our bell on being accountable for souls. Hallelujah. In the book of John, St. John chapter 11. Praise God. There are so many things in my heart this morning. Praise God. I want to say how much I love and appreciate my pastor and wife this morning. And I mean it, brother, sister Shirley, pastor and pastor's wife, I appreciate them. I appreciate their hand in our lives, and my wife and my daughter and my two sons and mine. And I appreciate that they have loved us. He's been there, let me tell you, in everything, not just everything he's ever warned me has happened to me. And I've got a lot of knots to prove it. And he was telling Brother Mims, he said, you know, I have this kind of relationship with him that if I want to hug him and tell him how much I love him, or if I want to spank him. And I said, yeah, he's done a lot more spanking than he has hugging. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Spare that rod. My Lord, I tell you, we spoil that child. Hallelujah. We don't need any rod sparing at times. We need to hear it straight. We need to share the hand of mercy. But it's like the message God gave us when Moses came down from the mount. He came down with a handful of love and a handful of commandments. And we need both those in our lives. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 39 this morning, the word of the Lord. Familiar story, but I believe there's a message for us this morning. St. John 11, verse 39, beginning there. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot, with grave cloths. And his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence with Holy Ghost praise and worship. And Father, we ask you to pour your Spirit out upon your people. We're gathered in your name. Make a difference this morning in our lives. Let us not be just touched but changed. And we'll ever praise you, Lord. Can everyone shout in Jesus' name? You may be seated as you continue to worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Praise God. It has been on my mind for several days, this story. And I believe right after, if I'm not mistaken, maybe possibly third or fourth message that I'd ever preached in my life came right out of this story. And it came back to me again. And I don't know, but I hope I can do a better job than I did back then on it. But it came back to me. And the realness of it came back to me. And what had happened, what had taken place. Several things had taken place in the story. Not just the very fact that a man had died. Not the story only of Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And if thou canst believe. Not only the fact that Jesus was the resurrection and Jesus was the life. Not only that a man had died and sisters were affected and family were affected because of a death. But in this story, there is a very, very clear picture of being a soul winner. There is a very clear picture of being concerned and having our lives consecrated for a cause and being affected by the lost and being affected by those in dirty, nasty, and filthy places. And feeling accountable again to get them out and not leave them there. Hallelujah. They had something invested in him. They had something invested in Lazarus because he was their brother. And they wept sore. And the Bible said that, Mary said, if you only had been here, said this would not have happened. And then Jesus began to tell her how that he was the resurrection and the life. And then the story goes that he told them to take away the stone. And they said unto him, Lord, but he yet stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. But more or less like Peter said, nevertheless at thy word. And so they did it. They did it because Jesus said it. And they got involved and they moved the stone out of the way. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the words of power brought him out of that tomb. And when he came out, he was bound in grave cloths. And the scripture said that he told them to take away the grave, to loose him, I should say, and to let him go. And we've heard many messages on being loosed and let go. But they had to put their hands into what God was doing. He didn't do it by himself. Sure, he could have done it. He could have transfigured himself through there and done it all behind closed doors, so to speak, and rolled the stone away in power and brought him out in shiny apparel and clean and clean cut and neat looking. But he didn't. He brought him forth just as he was. Hallelujah. He brought him out bound in grave clothes and with the mark of a dead man. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something in the Holy Ghost. We want resurrection power. Yes, we do. We want the resurrection. Hallelujah. But it's not very often that we really pray the prayer that Paul prayed. Lord, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want the power of the resurrection without the sufferings. But to have the power of God operating in the church, there is suffering. I said there is suffering. Hallelujah. There's a price to be paid. Anybody that's ever been used by God, there is a price. There was a price, I should say, that was paid. The Bible says in verse 53, then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Now that was speaking of Jesus. They wanted Jesus dead. They got angry because there was a resurrection that day. And I'll tell you something else that made them angry. People got involved in the resurrection. Hallelujah. And people was moved by the resurrection. But before there was a resurrection, there was a death. Hallelujah. There was a price that was paid. Hallelujah to God. The scripture comes down in verse number 9 and says, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. Speaking of Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted they consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Hallelujah. And I think that goes back to what we've been hearing preached, that once people are delivered, there's a devil on their trail. Once there's been a mark in their life of deliverance, the devil hates that. He hates the transformation from ungodliness and wickedness and filthiness and perverseness of this flesh to the power and the faithfulness and the pureness of the Holy Ghost in one's life. And when that happens, friend, if you ever get a miracle from God, you mark me well, the devil is on your trail to stamp that thing out. Somebody give God the praise in here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. They didn't seek to put Jesus to death. As long as he was running around opening blinded eyes and causing the lame to walk and doing a few miracles. But when he started fooling with the dead and he started raising the dead, the Bible said from that day forth, they sought to put Jesus to death. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you that when you get involved, that's the problem with us. We don't want to be involved. We don't want to be accountable. We don't want our hands involved in the work of the resurrection, because we know, friend, we know if we get involved in getting dead people out, it's going to be a job. Hallelujah. We know that if we get involved in seeing people's lives change, that it's going to be some sweat and some labor and some stone moving. Hallelujah. And some grave clothes to put our hands on. We want God to put them in here, but we want them clean cut and dressed and everything just right. We don't want to be involved in their life. We don't want to teach a Bible study. We don't want to knock a door. We don't want to go on visitation. We don't want to be moved by the Holy Ghost to get out of our car, whether it be at the grocery store or driving down the road. We just want Jesus to do it. We want him to give them the resurrection power. We want him to get the grave pulse off of them, roll the stone away, and do it all, and just be happy. But I'm here to tell you, you better understand something, that such were some of you, that the Lord had mercy on you, that somebody, my God, have mercy, they cared enough to go inside the tomb. Come on now, roll that stone away. Get those grave cloths off of you. Come on, somebody give God the praise in here. We want the mark. Let me tell you something else. We want the mark that Lazarus had. We want the resurrection. We want everybody to believe. Because of Lazarus, many believed. Hallelujah. And we want that testimony in our life. Glory to God. But we don't want the testimony of having to fight to keep this thing alive. If you get the Holy Ghost, if you get resurrection power in your life, the devil is going to try to stamp that out. Hallelujah. He's going to try to take your joy away from you. He's going to try to take your peace away from you. He's going to try to take your desire to pray away from you, your desire to worship away from you. May I say, your desire to give away from you. He's going to try to stamp all that out of you. Hallelujah. Because you have enjoyed the spirit of the resurrecting power of God. But mark me well, if you really got it, the devil's out to take it from you this morning. He's out to take it. Come on now. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to go back inside the tomb. I don't want the devil to bind me up with a grave clothes. I'm free, and thank God I'm free. I said I have been loosed and let go, and thank God I've been loosed. Somebody give God the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, I feel this in the Holy Ghost, friend. I'm here to tell you that we must be involved in loosing the captive and letting them go. It's not enough. It's not enough to stand back and watch God perform his miracle. Watch God raise the dead. Hallelujah. Lazarus, for Lazarus to enjoy the resurrection, he had to be a part of that. Hallelujah. I said he had to be a part. He had to obey the voice of God. There had to be a death in his life for there to be a resurrection. And we want the resurrection without the death. Come on now. I said we want the resurrection without the death. We don't want to pay the price for it. We just want resurrection power. Come on now. But I'm here to tell you, if there's going to be resurrection power, there's going to be a death somewhere. There's going to be somebody, come on now, that dies for this gospel. Come on, somebody praise God. Because I wonder if they would say this morning, because of Greg Bamberg, many believe. Come on now. Let's get personal about this thing. I wonder if we've had the effect on this world. I wonder if our light's shining this morning. Come on, somebody give God the praise in here. My Lord, come on now. Come on, you call your name. You say it to yourself. Because of, say your name out loud. Because of, say your name out loud. Obey the Holy Ghost. Because of many believed. And from that day forth, they sought to put him to death. We ain't got devils on our trails because we're not doing nothing. We're not involved in getting the dead raised to life. We're not involved in taking grave cloths and moving stones away. We're not involved in there. We're involved in moving Pentecost. We're involved in joining people moving in clean cut and ready to go. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you that if you're going to be effective in the work of God, you're going to do just what they did. If you're going to pray for the lost to be, you're going to pray for resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. You're going to pray for the lost to be saved. Then you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to get there. Put your shoulder to the wheel, so to speak, in the prayer room and roll that stone out of the way. Come on now. I said, you're going to be involved in getting the grave cloths off of them. Come on. God, have mercy. Somebody give God the praise. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Come on. Somebody give God the praise in here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says that it was a cave. It's amazing, a few nights ago we was preaching about the cave, isn't it? Hallelujah. Get out of your cave. I said, get out of your cave. I said, get out of your cave. Glory to God. You need to understand something, that Jesus Christ resurrected you to get out of your cave, that many would believe. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it have been something if Lazarus would have said, hey, it's too bright out here. I've been used to darkness. I want to go back and sit inside the cave. No, sir. He was glad that the Lord had resurrected him. He was glad that the Lord had mercy on him. Come on now. And because of Lazarus, many believe. I'm telling you, I'm beginning to wonder about this Holy Ghost that doesn't affect other people. I'm beginning to wonder about this thing called the Holy Ghost that doesn't change other lives. I'm beginning to wonder about people that have been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light that doesn't affect others. Oh, mighty God, why are you here today? Didn't somebody affect you to be here? I said, didn't somebody put their hands in your life? Didn't somebody help roll the stone away? Didn't somebody help take the grave cloths off of you? Come on, wasn't there a Mary and a Martha in your life that was concerned about you? Glory to God, let me tell you something. When Jesus began to raise the dead, those that the Bible say yet stinketh. Come on, I'm here to tell you, we don't want stinky situations. We don't want nasty grave cloths in our life. We don't want to get our hands dirty. Oh, I'm telling you, I remember I'd had the Holy Ghost a few years, and the first time we got a decent vehicle, we always drove clunkers. You know what a clunker is, don't you? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's falling apart, wiring the bumper on to stay on the back of the vehicle. I remember Sister Tauber went drive down them old mud holes down that dirt road. We have a laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. She'd had to reach down, pull her dress up. Hallelujah. So the water got it. I'm telling you the truth. Water just flowed up inside the car. Hallelujah. Rusted out floorboard. But when God gave us a good vehicle, you know, it's amazing how quick we forget where the Lord brought us from. And we got out knocking doors, and an old drunk man come out there and got the slobbering on my shoulder. And I was worried about him getting my nice suit all messed up. Then I got to thinking, man, I got to get all these nasty people and bring them to church in my car. But I'm telling you, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost smote my heart. And I remembered I used to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. I'm going to tell you what's happened to us. Man, we went back inside our cave. We sat down. We forgot about what God's done. We've stopped, my God, have mercy. We've stopped spreading this gospel. We've stopped being a light. Lazarus has went back to the tomb. My God, somebody praise him. Hey, brother, you got it. You got it, don't you? Don't you go back to your cave. You tell this world about it. You tell them what you used to be. You let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Brother Stevens, you still got it. You still telling people about it. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. We're content. We got our resurrection. We'll go back to the tomb now. You don't want nobody on your trail. You want a devil after you. Jesus knew Calvary was his. When he raised that man from the dead, from that day forth, they sought to put him to death. It just wasn't Lazarus' miracle they was after. They was after the miracle giver. And they said, let me tell you, the devil never learns. He never learns to quit crucifying children of God. He never learns to leave them alone. Hey, you may be in a drought right now. You may feel like, Brother Talbert, I'm down. Well, just go ahead and die. Go ahead and die out to what you want. Die out to your will and your way. And get in the will and the way of the Holy Ghost. And walk in the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. You don't have a problem living for God if you were dead. And you have been washed. You have been purified and cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. You have had a blood transfusion. And you have been resurrected. You don't have a problem if you were dead and the Lord raised you to life, because now you are not your own. I wouldn't get personal about that. Come on now, I'm here to tell you, you don't have a problem with holiness. You don't have a problem with the preacher preaching against things and warning you not to do this and not to do that, because you're just glad that God counted you worthy to be resurrected and to have mercy on your life and to take the grave cross off of you. My God, somebody praise Him. I'm telling you, if you get the Holy Ghost and you're in that world, that's a bunch of junk you got to take off, that God's got to get off of you, my God, to make you a true believer. Come on, resurrected soul winner. A resurrected soul winner. Hey, because of, say your name. Say it again, because of, many believed. You want Jesus to have mercy on you, and you want Him to resurrect you, but then you want to sit back down in your cave. You don't want to get out and be a light. You don't want to be like Lazarus. They didn't come to just see Jesus only, but they came to see Lazarus. They came to see him that was resurrected. And because of him, many, many, many believed. And the story says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast. We're at verse 12 of chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth, everybody say, to meet him. They took palm branches of the trees and went forth to meet him. And then the Bible says it like this, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. And it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And Jesus, therefore, the people, therefore, I should say, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record for this. For this cause, the people also met him. Everybody say, met him. That's verse 18. Verse 13 says, and went forth to meet him. Hallelujah. These people that were laying palm branches in the way and cried, Hosanna, was the ones that saw a resurrection. It was they that saw what Jesus did. It was they that saw Lazarus get up out of the tomb. It was they that was laying palm branches in the way and cried, Hosanna. Come on now. They had witnessed something. They saw the power of God. They saw a man that was dead, resurrected, and he got out of that tomb saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings. And because of Lazarus, many believe. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to meet him this morning. I said, I'm going to meet him, and I'm going with a cry of Hosanna. My God, somebody praise him. They went forth to meet him. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the miracles there, and the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came together to Philip, which was the Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell of Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour's come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus couldn't stand it anymore. He got to looking around the effects that Lazarus had on that crowd. And he got to seeing that many believe because of a man that was dead, that got up with resurrection power, that had grave cloths loosed off of him, stones removed away in his life. And Jesus looked at that man. Jesus couldn't stand it. And the Bible said that from that day forth they sought to put Jesus to death. And all of a sudden Jesus cries out, listen, he said, I want you to understand something. He said, they've been out there laying palm branches in the way after this resurrection. They've been crying Hosanna to the King of Glory. And he said, it's affected me. I can't stand it. And he said, it's all because I resurrected one dead man. And I'm telling you, the glory got to rolling inside. He got to hearing the cry Hosanna. But he said, they really don't know who I am. One man died. But he said, I'm telling you, if I die, hallelujah, if I die, I'm telling you something. He said, I want you to understand, I'm going to bring forth much fruit. Come on, somebody give God the praise. He said, hey, Lazarus, if you think you're something, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't the spotless blood is shed. You ain't the pure blood is shed. My God, somebody give him praise in here. Jesus said, it abideth alone, but if it die, bring it forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Are you where Jesus is this morning? For where I am, there also shall my servant be. Where's Jesus at this morning? Is he in his church? Wonder where he is when we close the lights and walk out of here. Cut the lights off, close the doors, I should say. Where's Jesus at? But where I'm at, there shall my servant be also. Well, every time I found Jesus, he was resurrecting dead people. He was opening blind eyes. He was unstopping deaf ears. He was going to the sick and the wounded and the lonely. He was going to the pool of Bethesda and caring about one man that had been there for years and years and years, 38 years, and speaking the word of power, and that man coming up out of there. Hallelujah. He was healing. He was setting free. He was delivering. For where I am, there shall my servant. We don't want to be a servant. We want resurrection power, but we want Jesus to serve us. No, we won't say that. We won't outright say, Jesus, I want you to serve me. But I'm telling you, our prayer, when we go in and we pray, it sounds like a McDonald's or a Burger King order in the prayer room. When we go to pray, it's what I need, what I want, what I want you to do, how I want you to give me this. I want you to hold the pickles. Come on, I want the mustard and the lettuce. I want this, but I don't want that. And I want you to do it for me. Just thank Jesus, you've been a great big God. Hallelujah. But not one time do we go in that prayer room and with a Lazarus mentality and a Lazarus heart that says, Lord, I once was bound, but now I'm free. Now, Father, I'm not content to stay here and hide inside that cave. But when I get out of here, God, I came back for one reason. Lord, I tell you, I'm like Jacob, Lord. The reason I came back to Bethel is to remember what you've done. But I'm not going to stay here, Lord. I've got a seed to raise and a generation to raise and children to raise. My God, somebody praise him. Oh, somebody. My God, I feel this. They went forth to meet him. Verse 13 and verse 18. For this cause the people also met him. They met him with praise and glory because they knew he was a resurrecting God. They knew he was a prophet, I should say. They didn't understand he was God Almighty robed in flesh. Hallelujah. But they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then they began to ring the praises. In the praises of the power of one resurrection got a hold of Jesus. And Jesus said, listen. He said, I want you to understand something. He said, there's a grain of corn. It's going to go to the ground. It's going to die. And it's going to bring forth much fruit. We don't want that. We want much fruit. Hallelujah. We just want much fruit. We want to come here and to bring our basket here and Jesus to fill it up. And just be thankful, come on, that we're in the church, but it doesn't work like that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm telling you, the devil has fooled us. He's got us to sit in a cave so long that it's got so dark around us that we don't even see or know who we are anymore. Lift your hand and say, oh me, oh my. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Have mercy on me, Lord. God. Now say it again. Because of. Say your name. Let's do it again. Because of. Many believed. Lord, oh God, they went to see Jesus, but that's not only for Jesus' sake only, the Bible says, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death also, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And the mark of a resurrection in your life is that you have believers that are following what you have. They follow the Jesus that you follow. And if you have nobody following the Jesus that you follow, you don't have the mark of the resurrection in your life. Sure, you may have had a resurrection experience, and you may have had the grave cloth taken off of you, but instead of you going the right direction, you went back in your cave, and you sat down. You're just like Elijah. You're sitting there right back to what I preached the other night. You're sitting there licking your wounds and feeling sorry for yourself because you've had some firestorms and some earthquakes and some windstorms that's come your way, and you're sitting up there feeling sorry for yourself. And the reason all this stuff, God's allowed the devil to bring this stuff on you, is to get you back out of your cave and to get you back out to where the light is, so he can say, "What doest thou here? Oh God, what are you doing here inside this cave? Aren't you anointed? There's some kings out there to anoint. I want you to go find Hazael and anoint him. I want you to go out there and I want you to find Jehu and anoint him. I've got something, my God, I've got an anointing for you to pass on. My Lord Lazarus." What's wrong with us, church? What's wrong with us? Have we forgotten that we have purged from our old sins? Have we forgotten that such were some of us? Oh, let's all stand our feet and worship the Lord. I'm not going to go on 5 hours. But oh, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I felt this. Oh, God. We don't want to do it. I wish, where's Sister Diane? Can you sing that song this morning? Gloves on our hands. Mask on our face. Do you remember that? Can you sing it? Can y'all play it? Oh, God, that's good. Because here we are. But we need to go find somebody. We need to take the mask off this morning. We need to take the gloves off our hands. I remember Brother W.T. Barnes told, he was in an area and there was a man that had leprosy and was dying, and the preacher, if I understood the story right, wouldn't baptize him. Maybe there was a fear there or something. He wouldn't outright just tell Brother Barnes, but he got Brother Barnes to come. And Brother Barnes was telling the story that the man finally got around and said, "You know, there's a guy that has leprosy that's repented, and, you know, and so who's baptized him?" And he said, "Well, you know," and Brother Barnes said he knew instantly that's what they got him there for. Isn't it a shame that when we get ready to make steps with people, we got to get somebody else? We have got to, for some reason, we feel like that we can't do it. We can't get them to cross over. We got to get somebody else involved. It's all right to get the preacher involved in your resurrection and other people's lives. Just make sure that you don't abandon the cause when he gets involved. Just make sure that you're willing to be a part of it. Brother Barnes said when he went down that water and baptized that man, said little flakes of scabs just floated up all over that water. And, you know, that preacher was afraid to get in there, afraid he'd get that leprosy. But he said he baptized that man in Jesus' name. And so when he come up out of that water, he came up speaking with tongues. Said, no, he wasn't instantly healed, but there was a cleansing inside of that man. But let me tell you what we want. I'm telling you what we want. We don't want to get our hands nasty and dirty for the work of God. The Bible said that when they brought that oil for the lamp to shine in the tabernacle. The Bible said they had to bring it. And the Bible said they brought pure olive oil, beaten for the light to shine. They brought it. The priest didn't bring it. The people brought it. And they brought it, and it had been beaten. And they got all the dregs out there, and it was pure oil. And they brought it, and they said, "We've been working on this. And here you go. We want to give it to you. It was dirty work, but here it is. We want the light to shine, and we want to be a part of it." God said, if you're going to be a part, and you're going to be a part of the light shine, you're going to do the work of getting the dregs out of their lives. Right. We don't want that. We want them to come in here with clean-cut suits on. Oh, we don't want to go there where that harlot is. We don't want to go where that drug addict is, that alcoholic. We don't want to spend time planting that seed saying, "This ain't the life for you. I've got to burn." You know, I've been praying for you. Can I get a Bible? Would like a Bible study with you? Man, I'm here to tell you. Oh, what's wrong with this church? Have we gone to sleep? Have we forgotten? We were like Lazarus. We're even out of this tomb and people are following us. Now listen, we're out of this cave this morning. Bible said it was a cave. I believe it's a reason he called it a cave. We're even out of this cave and people are following what we have. But we're fooling ourselves and we're in the cave. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't have nobody really following me like I'd like them to. I don't hear nobody pounding my footsteps behind me this morning, but I want to affect this world. I said, I want to affect this world. I told the Lord in prayer. I said, I don't want this world to affect me, Jesus. I want to affect it. I want to be a mark of a believer. Wouldn't it be something at your death that people swarmed your funeral and said, man, I want what he's got. The way he lived, oh, I want what he has. Wouldn't it be something people got the Holy Ghost at your funeral because you lived that kind of life? But we can't even get them to get the Holy Ghost while we're alive. Whew. I want you to sing it this morning. And when you sing, I'll tell you what I want you to do now. Now, I want you to come for yourself, so don't misunderstand my statement. But I want you to come down here with the intent this morning that I'm going to get my hands involved. I'm going to move some stones out of somebody's life. Now I'm going to get involved, take the grave cloths off somebody. If I really want Jesus, now let me tell you something. It meant something to Mary and Martha. They had something invested. That was their brother in that tomb. They missed him. They missed his laugh at the table. They missed his gesture and his smile. They missed the way he said, oh, come on. They missed it all. They had something invested. It was their brother. I'm going to tell you something. There's a hang-up right there. We don't have any investment in it. We don't have no investment in this world. We're not concerned about this world. We don't see that as our brother and our son and our daughter out there this morning. But God's telling us if we're going to have what they had, if we're going to have a resurrection this morning, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. And if we're going to have a resurrection, we're going to have to fight to keep our miracle. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. They're going to sing this morning. And when they sing it, I want you to come down here saying, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. It wouldn't hurt me at all if some people just got down on their faces and began to weep and say, Father, I'm bringing somebody to the house of God. God, today, that's right, tonight, Lord, I'm going to go out. I'm going to make a mark. Come on now, church. Come on, this is all. I'll tell you what, I closed my Bible as a witness against you when I preached this morning. I close it in your presence that God shut the book this morning on being a soul winner. I feel this in the Holy Ghost that this is our service. This is our service to be affected. Go ahead and sing it. Come on, sing it. If somebody wants the Holy Ghost, come on down here. If somebody wants to pray this morning, come on. God will get you out of that cave. Come on down here. The Holy Ghost will change your life. Come on, sir. We need some tears in this altar. We need God. Come on. Come on down here.